It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
One positive aspect of the current coronavirus pandemic is the increased time for reading lots of things that I don't usually get around to during a normal non-pandemic day. Consequently, I've been able to cut into the ever-growing stack of articles I'll sometime get around to from the Sunday New York Times that finds its way into our mailbox each week on Tuesdays. In addition to their weekly takes on politics, world news, and the arts, the Times often has timely information on gardens and gardening. Consequently, I recently learned a lot about the giant hogweed that is taking over an area of central Russia that equals about 250 million acres, or approximately twice the size of the country of Spain. After the breakup of the Soviet Union, a mass exodus from farming communities occurred, and the giant hogweed advanced beyond its native Caucasus Mountains, expanding its coverage by 10% each year. This invasion is becoming impossible to contain as the plants replace local species and overtake native grasses at an alarming rate. The invader reaches a height between 13 and 16 feet high, and its umbrella-sized leaves and ramrod stems can excrete a toxic sap that can cause blisters, third-degree burns, and even blindness to anyone who tries to control its growth. Consequently, the march of the giant hogweed began as the result of an agronomist plan after World War II to rebuild the Soviet ag industry. This included feeding this impressive botanical biomass to livestock, but the resulting tests resulted in poor-tasting milk. Efforts to create a less toxic plant have always showed failure. Since then, sporadic efforts to control giant hogweed have all failed, though some activists and scientists are still trying to find solutions as the hogweed advances closer to highly populated areas. A national park that is situated near Moscow has become a major growth area, but is largely dependent on hogweed control from volunteers who try to control the massive botanical monsters using machetes. The more distant rural areas have been all but abandoned by farmers and other residents as the giant hogweed marches on. And the hogweed march has, over the years, spread to many areas of the world, including the U.S. and Canada, where it was originally introduced to Victorian gardens. It currently has been found in Maine, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Maryland, North Carolina, and on the West Coast in Oregon and Washington. Lucky for us in the High Plains Public Radio area, it doesn't seem to cotton to the Central Plains, probably because there is a lack of standing water to encourage it to visit. Giant hogweed takes a few years to develop its noxious and nasty personality, as its life cycle consists of four phases. First, the pre-flowering plants sprout from seeds and continue growth for several years, creating leaves and overwintering roots. Then the plant flowers, usually in June or July, creating up to 20,000 seeds per plant. After the seeds disperse in August, usually by wind, but also by water, animals, or people, the plant dies, leaving the stems and any remaining seeds standing. Seeds can stay alive in their soil seed bank for up to 5 years before starting the process all over again. So there you have it, straight from all the news that's fit to print. A warning to be watchful for a toxic alien that took over Russia and could possibly take over the world.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini and produced by the staff at HPPR. To listen to other Growing on the High Plains episodes, visit hppr.org.